You know, already they fished out all the good fish, and they're renaming the trash fish what the good fish were called. And they're working their way down the system with fish. And it's the same with this, that they have been pushing insects as a source of protein. And this is what you get when you run into, I mean, Soylent Green is going to happen next. What are some of the results of capitalism running into the limits of the planet? Well, I saw one the other day. I was watching a baseball game on television with my mom. And at the concession stands at the game, they sell fried or something grasshoppers. And you're seeing this more and more often on that strange show Shark Tank. They had some entrepreneur was selling protein bars made of crickets. And I think this is all fine. I mean, if you're going to eat meat, then, you know, insect meat is just another animal, which doesn't alter the fact that this is a completely predictable result of running into the limits of the planetary limits, because they have, what capitalism does is exploit every niche it can. I'm going to back up a little bit. When I was in college, I graduated in physics, and then I took a year of graduate school in mineral economics because I had a year left of eligibility for high jumping, and I wanted to do it, but then I broke my foot, couldn't do it anyway. So I took a year of mineral economics. And mineral economics is like regular economics, a study, except that it's more about finite resources, and it's about extracting resources. And one of the things I remember from mineral economics is, so an example would be, if you have a donut shop, everybody presumes you have an infinite access to dough, to wheat. You can always buy more. But if you're running a mining company, you have a finite deposit, and that will lead to different economic assumptions. You have a finite deposit of bauxite, of, you know, iron ore, whatever it is. And one of the rules of mineral economics was that you access the cheapest and most easily accessible reserves of whatever mineral you're going after first. So, for example, with oil, the first oil discoveries were they could basically just scoop it up. And you go for those first. You don't go for drilling in the Gulf of Mexico first. You get the easy stuff. And then after you get the easy stuff, you get the stuff that you have to drill a little bit. And then after that, you get the stuff you have to drill a little bit more. And then after that, you get the stuff you have to drill a little more. And then you start going after the stuff offshore. And then you go for the North Sea. And then you go for shale oil. You go for the stuff that you go for easy stuff first, hard stuff later. You now have a degree in mineral economics. And that's how it works with all of this, that if you're talking about protein, you really go for the high quality, tasty protein first. And then you work your way down. And we've seen this with fish, where first they went after the most delicious fish, and then they went after the fish that didn't taste quite so good. And then oftentimes they just rename them. So you get, what is now sometimes called cod. It's not actually what used to be called cod. And the same is true with other fish. And they work their way down, and they get rid of all of the reserves of that fish. They've effectively killed the cod, and then they move to the next one. They move to the next one. And so we could expect, and I'm not even talking about the quality or taste of grasshoppers. I'm talking about perception, that they had to break down barriers. And the reason they're breaking down barriers is because they've reached the limits on how much they can exploit other parts of reality. And another way we see this is in the entire solar and wind energy movements, that they are lower quality energy than oil from the perspective of the exploiters. So what you're going to do is you're going to exploit the oil first, and then once you've pretty much reached peak oil, you're going to move to other sources. And it's been a tremendous, tremendous coup on the part of the energy industry to be able to put this transformation, which is absolutely necessary for capitalism as they move through peak oil, to make that environmental, to make it seem as though the exploitation of this new frontier is actually doing the earth a favor. I just saw this article the other day about, I'm actually going to try to find this article. I saw this article just the other day about how, quote, how one business is turning green gas into a green gas. From the rugged Scottish Highlands to the rolling hills of Cotswolds, the UK is dotted with acres of lush green land. Now one green energy business is looking to harness the potential of grass and turn it into a gas. A few years ago, we discovered that we could make gas from organic sources and pump it into the gas grid just the same as we do with green electricity. So we set out then to find a way to make green gas. We'd come up with a way of making it from grass. Dale Vince, founder of Gloucester-based Ecotricity, told CNBC's Sustainable Energy. So notice all those words, ecotricity, sustainable energy, and what are they really talking about? What they're really talking about is cutting down these meadows and burning them. And that's a low-quality energy that they're now having to run into because they've used up the oil you can scoop out of the ground. They've used up the cheaper sources. They've used up the more easily accessible sources. And it's a tremendous coup that they can present this as actually green and luscious. Okay, that's one direction we can go with all this. Another direction to go with all this is that for years, there have been those who have talked about, and I'll say who those is in a second, those who have talked about United States environmental protection regulations as a luxury. And those who have said it have been both just naked capitalists, those who want to exploit every last thing on the planet, and have also been a lot of so-called advocates for the poor who say, gosh, you know, why do you want to protect, you know, non-human animals when there are human animals who are starving? And there is a sense in which they are, they're very confused because, I mean, it's obviously very human supremacist to think that non-humans do not deserve to live. And it's also very problematical in that it forgets that an unhealthy planet can't support anyone and that the health of the planet is primary. But leaving those two aside, the argument does have a layer of truth in that the United States has been able to afford environmental protections because it has been ravaging the rest of the world in order to support this lifestyle here. And so, of course, we want to make nice, beautiful parks where we can walk around and pretend that nature is still okay, and we can have beautiful aesthetic scenery. But as capitalism runs into the limits of the planet, those protections will disappear. And that's precisely what we're seeing. And it's precisely what we've been seeing for a while. This is a completely predictable and has been predicted by a lot of people result of running into the limits of the planet, that national parks are a wonderful idea. And I want to be really clear. I am not in any way saying that national parks are a luxury. What I'm saying is that I am not saying that protected areas are a luxury. I am saying that from the perspective of capital, they are a luxury. That is precisely what I'm saying. They are the farthest thing from a luxury. But from the perspective of capital, they are a luxury, which is why national parks, etc., are a temporary protection. And as capitalism runs into the limits of the planet, we will see increased demand for those lands to be fracked, those lands to be logged, those lands to be destroyed, because they've already taken everything else. And so as we run into the limits of the planet, what we're going to see is increasing use of lower quality energy. Lower quality, once again, when I say lower quality, I'm saying from the perspective of the capitalist, more expensive energy with a lower energy return on investment. We're going to see increased movement toward lower quality protein. We're going to see increased movement toward removing any restrictions on how capitalists can act. We will see, here's the point, that the capitalists will exploit every last thing on this planet. We could also say the patriarchs will. You know, it's all patriarchy, capitalism, all mixed in together. They will take every last thing that the planet has, and every regulation will go in order to fuel this culture that they perceive as being more important than life.
I want to end with this. This is from my brother Cree Nation. It's a prophecy from the 1800s. And they say, when all the trees have been cut down, when all the animals have been hunted, when all the waters are polluted, when all the air you breathe is unsafe, only then will you discover you cannot eat money.